This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of FUBAR
Radio. FUBAR Radio presents... Hello,
Volkswagen. Today, I'm joined by the absolutely stunning Andrea Gibson. Do you think a lot of your sexuality, gender identity is present in your work? Do you really lean into that?
Yeah, it's all through it, actually. Even when I try to, it's sort of like Jesus. Jesus finds his way into all my bones. Somehow, Jesus has made his way in there. Maybe it's because I think Jesus might be pretty genderqueer, but I'm going to get in trouble for saying that.
I'm very intrigued by that thought. Yeah, no, I see it.
Yeah, I see it. You know what I mean?
Every Wednesday, Callum McSwiggan, from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I am joined in the studio today by the incredible Jamie Windust. And this is a hat trick. This is the third time we've had you here, Jamie.
I've scored lucky. Thank you for having me back.
It's amazing to have you back. And let's start off by talking about how much you have grown in, I think it was a year you were here for the first time.
Yeah, this time last year. It's been a bit ridiculous.
It's been insane for you. and I mean, deserved. So, so very well deserved.
It's been a bit of an odd year, but like, in the best way. I'm sure we'll get onto like the Blogosphere Awards. That was, again, a very bizarre situation because it's one of the pies that I don't necessarily dip into all the time. And that influencer world, I almost found it quite nice because I'm not specifically there because of my gender identity. And it's also a celebration of, well, that was a celebration of like fashion and aesthetic. So it's quite nice to sometimes have just like work or opportunities that aren't specifically for my activism.
Yeah.
There's obviously an activism stance there because just by existing there is. However, it's nice to kind of go into other platforms or strings of work that aren't just specifically about me fighting a good fight.
So you were nominated for Fashion Influencer of the Year.
Correct, which I did say to you, didn't I, prior. I was like, if I don't win, Callum.
Yeah, so I was presenting the awards, myself and Melanie Murphy, and I actually knew in advance.
I want to know, how long did you know?
I knew that you were going to win for like weeks beforehand.
Awful.
I knew for so long that you were going to win.
Because I was messaging you.
And you were messaging. At one point you messaged like to tell me that you were like nominated for an award. And I was like, I already know that you've won. But so I had to keep it secret. And I was going to crack every single time you brought it up. It was difficult to keep that under wraps. Can we talk about your acceptance speech?
No. No, we cannot.
It was beautiful.
Don't. Do you know what? Right. This might not make sense, but I just need to say it. I didn't know that Zoella actually was there.
Yeah, she was there.
Because I saw the pictures. I didn't slag her after.
Can you say what you said? Or do you not want to say what you said?
That's fine. So I may have alluded to wanting to sleep with her brother, Joe Sugg.
In your acceptance speech.
You know, I'm up there having a really great moment, and what do I choose to say? I also said, hold on, I need to get my leg out. It's leg or tits. Which, yeah, I didn't know she was there until like a week after, and I saw the pictures come out, and I was like, shh.
I'm sure she loved it. I'm sure she absolutely loved it. I hear she's a character, honestly.
Well, do you know what? I've got a bone to pick because she hasn't set that up. I'm still Joe Sugg contactless. So.
Let's get serious. Let's talk about your petition, because this is something that is incredibly important. This has been something that I know has been going on for a little while now.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, do you want to give us a little bit of background?
Mm-hmm. So I started a petition hilariously on Valentine's Day. It began as something to look at just general legal documentation. So it is to look at the ways in which legal documentation within the UK, so like passports, driver's license, birth certificates, allow people to identify their gender. Because at the moment it's a binary system, so there's only two options. So I kind of got to a position where in January I needed to renew my passport. So I was like, right, okay, bro, let's do that. And then I kind of realised when I was in that process that I could only do it as either male or female, and I was like, well, that's not really appropriate. So I basically then reached out online to kind of other trans and non-binary people to see if it was just me or if it was something that a lot of people had issues with, and it was a general consensus that a lot of non-binary and trans people had this kind of dilemma with legal documentation. Yeah. So I was like, right, go on then. I'll start this petition. At the moment, it currently stands at like approximately 17,000.
Yeah.
Which is brill. So it needs 100,000 by August, which I know is probably not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to continue.
Sure.
At 10,000, the government basically responded.
Right, okay.
And were like, here's our response. They've basically said that they're going to do a call to action, which is similar to, if you remember way back when in November, the Gender Recognition Act consultation.
Yeah.
So basically, they're going to ask non-binary people about their lived experiences within the UK, how they can adapt, I think, all of their services, essentially, to make sure it's more inclusive. So that is quite promising. Whether or not I think that may be a mild PR thing, purely because their statement was public.
Right.
So they're going to make it sound quite jazzy.
Yeah.
And very interestingly, there is a campaign that is being run alongside mine, which I'm teaming up with, that is going back to the High Court in December to challenge the High Court for gender-neutral passports, which is brill.
Yeah.
They said that the petition is the largest they've ever had.
That's amazing. A bonus. That's incredible.
And then it's going to be used essentially as evidence to support this campaign in the High Court.
And I understand as well that the situation as it stands right now is that there are certain countries in the world where they allow non-binary passports.
Yeah.
And people can enter the UK, I believe, with those passports.
Yeah.
So it seems a little bit strange and, you know, borderline hypocritical for us to say that, no, yeah, you cannot have a non-binary passport here.
Exactly. Like, to be honest, when I've spoken to quite a lot of people outside of the UK in terms of just, like, journalists or press, they've been completely baffled as to why the UK were not leading this conversation or leading this decision.
Well, because we lead on so much, but I do think we're beginning to slide, and we're not the most progressive country anymore. And I think we're going to get worse and worse and worse if we do not make progress on things like this.
Yeah, precisely. And I think it's a difficult one. Obviously, there's a lot in Westminster that's going on at the moment. However, I think stuff like Brexit and issues like this are a huge example of why too much time is being taken up.
Yes, it's overshadowing everything else.
Yeah, like there's so many issues that need to be sorted.
Absolutely.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
I have got Lady Bird in the studio. What's going on here, Joe? You've got two chunks of wood.
It's called Palo Santo, and you burn it and it smells nice. And just before coming in, we were informed that we could swear on this radio station. I think Sam got excited and handed me the two chunks of wood, assuming that we could smoke as well, but I don't think
even that's an uncensored station,
well,
I think...
Actually, if you smell it just raw, straight from Peru...
Yeah, nice.
So the building still has all your standard fire regulations?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's an uncensored radio?
Yeah, it's not like the Wild West. Right?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Still, we've got plumbing and stuff, like the toilets.
No way.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
It's now time to introduce to you guys someone that I'm very excited to talk about. He's got such a wonderful sound to the stuff that he makes, and he's come all the way to visit us from the United States of America. Adrian from and is the all-encompassing Yolklore. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I just played a couple dates in Amsterdam before coming to the UK.
Yeah.
And I've never played music there, and that was awesome. I love that city. It's really beautiful, and I want to do more in the Netherlands. And
great. Well, Holland. I think, as well, it's a pretty good fan base to get on the side of it. From what I am aware, they're loyal fan base, the Dutch.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's like, I don't know, I'm a New Yorker, and I'm used to, like, playing the States and stuff, and then it's cool to come to a foreign country and just have people, like, know the words to your songs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's great, though, and that I guess that's the power of, you know, the internet, and that people can they can know about you before you actually arrive.
I know. I'm such a Luddite, and I really like talk down the internet a lot, but there's a lot of beautiful things that come out of that ease of communication and like ease of dissemination, you know?
Yeah, and also ease of being able to get hold of your song lyrics so they all know what they are
by the time you're right. I actually had to Google some of my song lyrics earlier today.
Well, you know.
It's good for everyone.
Yeah,
it's good for all
there
of
you
us.
Go.
I need it too.
Have you ever been on and gone, wait, they're not the lyrics. Someone's put them up, but they're
not
right.
Oh, my God, yeah. So there's one of my songs, Beige.
Yeah.
It's in like a teen movie right now called After. And so I got like these teenage girls like all over the world like tweeting out these lyrics like every day, and none of them get them right. Not one.
So is there a particular lyric that they struggle with? Go on.
Okay, so the lyric, oh, I'm so glad I get to do this. And
no,
this
me too.
Because it's been a real thorn in my side lately. So the lyric is, and I understand it's kind of a weird lyric. It's a bit sexual and like whatnot. But okay, so the lyric is, with your fingers in my mouth, I fail to see your faults. So please don't let me fall.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, for some reason, thinks it's with your fingers in my mouth, the fantasy of us. So please don't let me fall.
Oh.
And that's awful.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I don't write about fantasies. I mean, I love the people are identifying with it and wanting to repeat these lyrics.
But it must be difficult for you because you can't really troll them because they'll be like, this guy's a dick.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to like yell at anyone for like rewriting my song lyrics. Like, that's fine, whatever. But I'd really love if people knew the lyric. Because I think it's a cool lyric.
I tell you what, if you want,
yeah,
after the show, okay, I will go on. And if I'll just go, actually, it's not that. And
yeah, then, there you go.
And then I can be the bad guy to some teenagers that don't know who I am anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, I need to send my muscle like out.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. That'll be the first time I've ever been anyone's muscle, but
there
I'm happy
go.
To
you
do
can
it.
You be my Shylock, you know?
So tell us a little bit about the EP. Tell us a little bit about this project in general, because obviously I know that you was in a couple of projects before this. So is there things that you've taken from that and brought to this, or is this completely clean slate? Or
no, I think everything is. I guess everything has. I think necessarily, and the way to make something full of integrity is to build on what came before, mm-hmm. I guess. And I think you have no choice, really. But if you like are aware of that and use it to your advantage,
yeah, right.
I think it's much better instead of being like, no, man.
I'm different now. Yeah,
I'm different now. Or like, I'm my own person. Like, but like, whatever. Fuck.
That's good advice, actually, I think.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that for something.
That's really helped me with something there just now. Oh,
it's like,
good.
Yeah, great. Right. Good point.
But but yeah, so I really do think I'm a drummer by trade.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I really actually know how to do. And so when I wanted to play my own songs, I decided to use the banjo because it was kind of a drum.
Right, I can see what you mean.
But it's like something I can come to the front of the stage and sing with.
Yeah.
And like, I can play a guitar, but like, I'm not great at it.
But I think also the banjo is such a beautiful
instrument. It is a beautiful instrument. And it's really specific. It has like, you know, when you think of a banjo, you think of some idiot in suspenders and a mustache and like doing like a... Or maybe you pressure like hillbillies in the woods like...
I used to, but and listeners of this show regularly will be about to roll their eyes as I bring him up again, because I'm such a big mark for Kurt Vile.
Yeah,
he has made the banjo cool again. I think
love Kurt
some
Vile
of his
so
best
much.
Songs are the ones that he's done on banjo. So when I saw that next door, I was like, oh, this is gonna be great.
I love Kurt Vile. I mean, I just feel like the banjo is so. Has such a limited historical presence that I think there's so much room to use it in different ways.
Absolutely.
And to like take it places it's never been and kind of just explore. I mean, people have played guitars with 5 strings, 6 strings, long necks, short necks, lefties, righties, like behind the back, like down
on fire,
floor, like on fire, like, you know, every way you can imagine. And people have played the banjo one way forever. So I'm trying to... I think there's just a lot of room for me.
Yeah, there definitely is.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So. FUBAR Radio presents... Access all areas.
My real favourite doctor's here.
Dr. Raj.
We love you. Aww, from this morning show.
You.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you. I can't believe it. I'm amongst friends. I've known you both for so long.
What happened, Stephen?
We were in a bar.
Oh, Stephen.
We got very drunk and I went to order a drink at the bar and we might have had a snog. Stephen! Yes!
I swore I'd never say that. Oh gosh, they're all screaming.
You snubbed the doctor!
Look at his face!
You snubbed my favourite doctor!
Yes.
I wondered why I'm skipping to the studio.
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We have the very lovely, very handsome Kai Sains with us.
Thank you.
Kai, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You are X Factor alumni, aren't you? That's what we can call you.
Yeah, if you like. I mean,
that's the face you often get when you say that to a former X Factor contestant.
I'm looking forward to the day when I just have my name.
Well, the thing is that's where most people will have first heard of you, right? And actually, I think that 2012 was the last really good year of X Factor when it was really at its peak.
I'd agree with that, even though obviously I'm going to agree with that, but it was the last time that a lot of people kind of came off the back of it and did quite well and had some big people on it. And even
who
Ryland,
else was on it that year?
Ryland, who's gone on to do stuff with his television career. James Arthur won it, obviously. Ella was on it. And even there were some people that were on it that have gone on to do other things, nothing to do with the show, that can't take credit for it, but there was people that one guy's in Game of Thrones. He's got quite a big part.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I shouldn't say who, because he probably
Well, it's over
want
now.
That to know. Well, it is over. He's a massive... He's a really nice guy. He didn't quite get onto the lives.
Oh, okay.
But he's been a huge person.
Yeah, it seems...
Game of Thrones.
But it's funny with X Factor, because I can remember it. It was almost quite evident that was the last year when it was really good. Like, I can remember it. I can remember all the, like, most of the contestants, you know what I mean? Whereas... kind of dropped off a bit after that.
I don't think it's necessarily the people that were on it or that have gone on it since. I think it's just people just ready for something else.
Yeah, a bit tired of
That's
it.
That's why now Love Island's as big as how that used to be when it started, you know, and then that'll get tired and there'll be someone else.
Yeah, it's like, because actually, I was looking, when you watch bits of Love Island, it does look like Big Brother.
I love
Which
Big
eventually
Brother.
Got... people got tired of it, didn't they? And it kind of, and that's why it's off air now. So it happened to Love Island. I'm sure it happened to X Factor. Do you like, you're saying you're hoping one day people will kind of move on from it? Are you embarrassed by it?
No,
or like,
not at all.
So what is it you kind of?
It was
a bit of a
machine,
isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's experience. I think when I got to the point where I was going to do it, I'd already been signed a few times.
Yeah,
before.
I was going to say you were quite successful before.
Yeah, I'd been in out of record company since I was about 18, and I'd been in different bands. And then the band I had before the whole X Factor thing, it was kind of one of those situations. We signed this huge deal with Sony. They thought we were going to be like the next Coldplay, and then we did these amazing tours. And then just for like happens with everyone that signs, it just didn't quite connect and it didn't quite happen. It was the timing for the kind of music we were doing. And then I was kind of sitting there twiddling my thumbs a bit, and then I just thought, do you know what? Why not? And so it was just another experience, and it was an experience. I'd always say more so an experience when you come off it.
Right.
Because you kind of, and it's kind of what everyone's dealing with at the minute, with how they're now actually looking after people when they come off these shows. Because
was that not the case when you did it?
No, absolutely not. And but again, I was a bit more prepared than, say, the guy that works in Clark's in the middle of nowhere, and he goes and all of a sudden he's on TV. You know, like, I'd already been through the mill with the record companies and press and stuff. So I was kind of a bit more prepared than most people, which I had to my advantage. But it's still a learning curve when you come off, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, actually, because I've been a journalist and covered X Factor for such a long time. I've just remembered I actually came to the studio the year that you were on it.
I feel like we have met.
We have. Yeah. It was very brief.
But and you remember, I have that kind of impression on people. It's nice.
Well, it was, and they stopped doing that. They stopped inviting the journalists down to come and do all these chats. And we'd sit in the canteen,
yes,
and they'd bring people out. Sometimes you'd be waiting hours because they're doing sound checks and all this other stuff. Yeah. Eventually they stopped doing that, and I think so the press then weren't really so on side because you weren't getting access to people, and then it all just kind of dropped off a bit over the years
out.
But now there apparently there's another reinvention of it. Have you heard the celebrity version that they're going to do?
What is it again? Somewhat I did get
there's two versions. They're going to be doing two X Factors, one a celebrity version and one an All Stars version. You're going to go back?
No. I said.
Would you never?
I said no.
Oh, did they ask you?
Yeah, I had an email.
No.
I said no, thanks.
What is it you said no? Why? You just didn't fancy it again?
Because I've got your own thing going on now. Stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really me when I was doing it. And I think, if you know what you're already about and you know what you're doing, and I was writing songs and producing songs for other people as well before. So when you go into that machine, you have to be fully 100% okay to just say, do with me what you want.
Yeah, yeah, you and, sell yourself over.
Yeah, and I kind of wasn't. I played ball to a certain extent, but at the same time, I knew what I was about and I knew what kind of music I wanted to do and what I wanted to sing on the show each week. So, yeah, it's...
So it was a big fat no from you.
It's a big fat no from me, but whoever's doing it, I wish them well. I'm sure
it'll be good telly, you know, people. Time. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's not for me.
Yo, it's Grim Sickersney. I locked into Fubar Radio. Had a great time, great hosts, funny as hell. One of the few radio stations where I can be myself, swear, play some wicked games. I want to come back and co-host it. So if you need me, shout me, Sickers. Hey.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations in the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans and just clap your hands and just clap your hands. Side of the road with the elevator bones and your whiplash tones. Members only, hypnotizers move through the room like ambulance drivers. Shine your shoes with your microphone blues, hear suits with your parachute foods. Passing the Ducci from coast to coast like a man Gary Wilson.
What about those who swing both ways, AC/DCs?
Let's make it out, baby.
Like this, the funk of the beat. I like this part of people, it's a very unique beat.
Like this.
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Molesworth.
We're joined now in the studio by Tom Milner and Luke Friend.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about the 10th anniversary tour of Green Day's American Idiot. So the show is a story then?
It's an American Idiot album from top to bottom with a few additions from different albums.
Okay.
Green Day. But yeah, it's amazing, like, because Green Day music attracts like, the Green Day fans as well. So you've got a mixture of people coming to see the show. And some of them don't know how to react in a theatre. That you can't sit there on your phone and you can't be talking. You can't
Which
be
is in its own way
farting
brilliant.
Loud.
Change it from American Idiot to Yorkshire Fannies.
Yeah.
Just for
Yorkshire twats.
Yeah, Yorkshire twats.
Yorkshire
is perfect.
Twats. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every Monday,
Ian Molesworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
But I've got a headache now, and I've got to speak to Chris DiStefano on the phone. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, me and my kid's mom, we split up about 2 years ago, and I just sold the engagement ring. I just got $9,000 in cash, baby. I got it in rubber bands, and I'm putting it in my duffel bag, and I'm bringing it to the UK.
And you're going to give all your money away, remember? So that would have been another good thing. Yeah, you could have said that. You could have said, for those 2 dates, 24th and 25th, I've got £9,000 from an engagement ring that I don't need anymore. I'm going to give £1,000 to one lucky punter on each of those nights.
That's true. That's, you know what? That's what I am going to do. And it's going to be even more money. Isn't the pound worth more money than the US dollar?
Yep.
I'm giving $2,000 away. Fuck it.
Right, brilliant. That's exactly it, because that's how you redistribute wealth. And then you can say during the show, you can say, look, I was going to give this to somebody homeless, but I've decided to give it to somebody in the audience. And then that way, that person in the audience should, God willing, then go, well, I'm going to give it to the homeless myself. I'm going to courier that.
Yeah.
But they're not obliged to do that. But hopefully that would be a nice way of doing it. And you can't buy that sort of PR, mate. Your PR would have cost more money than that to just, you
100%.
Know, that'll get
Dude,
people
Dude, you just made me change my whole philosophy in life. I appreciate that. You know what? I am going to throw this money out the window right now.
But no, not yet, because you got to give it away to the audience. Don't forget, you got to give it to the audience.
£2,000.
All right, fine, thank God, because I have the window wide open. Right. All right, fine, yeah, come on,
no, you want to keep 2 back for each night, so you want to keep 4 back, and then you can chuck 3 out the window. I would personally prefer it.
Let me ask you guys this. What would you do? So I just got the payout for the ring. Should I give my ex half the money? Should I do that, or should I just keep it? What should I do?
Ooh.
Tough question.
Again, well, there are caveats to it, I think. Did you leave on good terms?
Well, I mean, we have a child, so, like, we left on good terms. We're good co-parents, but obviously the relationship, no, it ended in flames. But, you know, we're co-parents, so I could either take all $9,000 and put it right in my daughter's college fund.
Yeah.
Or I could give my kid's mom half of it, and then I put half it to my kid's college fund. Or I could just keep it all, or I could give it all to the homeless.
Oh, it's difficult, that man. I think, well, college fund, I guess, would be number one. I think probably would be the best thing, because then that's a sort of a guaranteed thing for it to be directly to the kid, if that's what you wish to do. And I think this of everyone. If you can afford to give money away, if you've got money that is literally spare, I believe you should give it away. That's what I believe.
Yes, that's a true point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. All right. Wow, you made me feel better. All right.
But what I don't want, Chris, is I don't want to be summoned to court saying that I said do it. That's what I don't want.
The thing is, now, unfortunately, you're involved. You're a witness.
I'm complicit, aren't I?
Just I hope you have your passport, because you may get summoned to court.
I am complicit. What if I end up dating your ex?
Please, 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 please. Date my ex. I would love. Would you pay me? I mean, I'm talking about. I'll pay you. I'll give you this $9,000 right fucking now if you date my ex and get her off my back. I swear to God.
Right.
Just date her.
Okay.
Nice English guy. Just be good to my kid. Blindfold her. Push on the swing. Tell her she's at Disney. I'll give you $9,000 right now if she never calls me and asks you what I'm doing again.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm not tempted, Chris. Is it like from the conversation we've had thus far, do you think that we were... Because part of me thinks, hang on, is he doing that to punish her? Is he saying, oh, yeah, go out with this guy?
No. Brother, let me tell you something. She is gorgeous. My daughter's mother is this gorgeous, beautiful Puerto Rican Latina.
Okay.
She would love your accent and everything and how well you're doing. I mean, and it would just be beautiful for me. It would be beautiful. She would just be off my back. I could do whatever I want.
You're
It'd be great.
You're going to have to move to New York,
but sometimes... Hop over
to Buddy, move to New York. You could. I got a 2-bedroom.
Okay.
I got a 2-bedroom. Live with me. Live with me. I don't care.
Do you know what, Chris? Right. I've got to say this. Every time I speak to someone from New York, right, of varying levels of fame and fortune as well, by the way. Some hugely famous. Some a bit famous. Every time I speak to someone on this show, they always ask me to live with them. This happened with a bloke from a Martin, was it a Martin Scorsese film or something?
A Martin Scorsese actor. I think Bob Saget.
Bob Saget did as well. He said come and stay as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we'd love to. You and Bob Saget come live with me. I don't care.
But it's not. Like, I don't want to do it just because you all. Is there like a thing going around all like comedians in New York? Like, oh yeah, get Ian Boldsworth over here to fuck your wife. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'll be a cuck.
Right.
Fuck my wife.
Nine dollars.
Yeah, but
it's still a lot, isn't it?
I'll honor whatever it is in pounds. I'll honor that too. I'll pay the difference.
Grand in pounds now.
Get over here. Have sex with my kid's mom.
What's going on, everybody? I am Fazer. I was here on FUBA Radio on Ian's show. Had a fantastic time on the show. Had some laughs. Had some inspirational moments. If you missed it, check it out. Love, I am Fazer.
Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
What's going on, people? It's Marcel for FUBAR Radio. I'm here with the guy that you may know as Dre from Power. The ladies might know him from their dreams last night, but everyone's going to know him from his new EP, Walk With Me. It's yes. The one and only Rotimi. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, bro. I'm blessed, man.
It's good to have you here the UK.
Yes, sir.
How's the UK been treating you?
Oh, I love it, man. The energy's good. You know what? I think the UK is like a mix of LA, Miami, and New York all in one.
Yeah, so yes. I don't need to travel now. I can stay here.
Stay home, bro. Don't come to the States. You're good.
That's all good. So luckily for me, I got to see you do your performance last night at Tape.
Yes, sir.
I must say the EP acoustically, it sounds. I don't know if it sounds better. Like, I feel like it's different. It's different, but the energy was still there. Like, because I listened to the EP previously, but then hearing them live and acoustic, it sounded fire.
Thank you, bro.
How did you find the response from the crowd? Because I saw the girls in there were feeling the vibe.
Man, you know, anything that's organic and genuine, man, people are going to connect to, you know.
100%.
And it was just me and a guitar, and you just had to hear the words and hear my voice, and it connected. Everyone in the room was just like, whoa, like, I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the element of surprise was actually winning for me, because the misconception is that I started off as a actor
and then you went to do music,
exactly, but it's the completely the different opposite, and so that's the funny part about it. So people are now learning who I am as an artist, as a man, and everything.
So what's the story regarding the music previously, before the acting? Like, how did you get into like the music?
Man, I grew up singing when I was 5 years old. My mom had me in the Nigerian weddings as a wedding singer, you know what I mean. I was playing the violin, I played the piano, I tried the guitar for a little bit. So I was just musically inclined, and like, that was my passion, and that's always been my passion. I was in a group with Jay-Z's nephew, so I had to perform in front of Jay-Z when I was 17 for a whole year.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we'd be sitting in his living room, and in his living room, he would be like, let me see your song. And we'd perform it for a year until we got good. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever experienced in my life, bro.
That's actually crazy.
And so the acting part came about when I graduated college, and I just needed some money. And I thought it was going to be a commercial, but I ended up booking a major role on a TV show on my first audition.
Your first audition.
So I was thrown into the acting world.
Man.
So it was just like, all right, let me learn how to act. So now I'm able to do what I've been always wanting to do.
Obviously, everyone's going to recognize you as Dre from Power, because Power is like, it's literally a massive show. Like, so is it? Are you finding that in the UK you're getting a lot of attention just based on the show?
No, both now, because with the project coming out, it's one of those things where people are just like, yo, I didn't know like you can do this too, like equally as good, and like with a Love Rhythm record, with the Decisions. It's made people say, oh, wow, he's just a talented person. And that's changed it. Before the project, it was like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know. He's an actor. But now people are seeing that it's just overall just talent.
So let's actually talk about the new EP. What is your favorite track from it? Because I say my one's Legend.
Legend.
Like that one's just like, it's got vibe. Energy there. Yeah, the girls are going to love that. Whenever I'm trying to like warm up a girl, I'm going to put on
Legend.
You know what I mean?
Warm up. I feel like Decisions is my favorite.
Yeah, that's the big tune as well. It's got good energy on that one.
Yeah, good energy, man. I feel like because it is the root of what we wanted to accomplish on the project, because I wanted to make a mix where it's me, Akon, and Craig David.
Yeah.
And that was the vibe that it was going by. And it kind of drove like, okay, this is what we're going to do for the rest of the project. And Decision started it. That was the first record I did with Harmony Samuels.
Oh, see
it. Yeah, UK. So it was the first one. So it set the tone for everything else. And I thought that that was going to be the single when I did it. But then Love Rhythm just came out of nowhere and just said, no.
So how much later did you make Love Rhythm to the first track that you done?
2 days.
2 days?
2 days.
Yeah.
2 days, we were like, yo, Decisions might be it. And then we did Love Rhythm, and it was just like,
yeah, that's a banger. That's something totally different.
Yeah,
something totally different because you said you was a wedding singer. That's definitely something that's gonna be played at a lot of people's weddings going forward. You know what I mean? It's one of those tunes.
Yes, sir. It's one of those records that I wanted to make. Like, I wanted to make music that people could play 40 years from now.
Yeah,
and it's just a feel good record.
Definitely,
you know. And I wanted to build to my legacy, man, and just show that there is no limits to any type of gift, nothing. There's no limits.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose. St. John's in the building.
Woo! Fresh off a plane too.
Are you feeling saintly today?
I feel the same every day, sexy.
Are you on a radio station where you can swear? So
I like
it's a little
that.
Bit less.
Let's just test it.
Go for it.
Let's go. You know what? Let's do a back and forth real quick. Me and you, right?
Yeah, go.
I'm gonna say the first curse word I think of. You say the second. We're just gonna keep going until somebody dropped the ball. You ready?
This couldn't be
this
more
This is like
me.
Ratchet Olympics. Are you ready for this?
I'm fucking ready.
All right, cool. All right, hold on. I gotta start.
Okay, you go.
Right, fuck.
Shit.
Hole.
Bugger.
Slut.
Cock.
Cunt.
Dick.
Dick.
Fanny.
Oh shit! Did I lose the Ratchet Olympics?
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Jean Michael is in the building.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No, lovely to have you, babe. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. As I told you, I need a wee.
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm going to be dancing in front of you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Don't be offended by it because my dancing isn't great.
That's okay. That's
Tell cool. me a little bit about you then. So you've grown up in a bit of a musical family. Lots of passionate music fans in your family, but also your mum was Boney M's hairstylist, right?
Yeah,
sick.
Was.
That's
yeah.
so sick.
Yeah,
lots of stories there, I can imagine.
Yes, yeah, some. There was there's a few.
And then when you were younger, you played the lead in Thriller.
Yeah, I did. I played young Michael. As young Michael in there, which was fun.
Really an incredible kind of start in music, really, because although it's theatre, it is still a very big schooling in music. What then led you on to being a singer, an artist?
I think prior to that, I always wanted to be a singer, and the reason why I actually got into that was because of my singing teacher, and she was like, oh, go and I've got this, I know the producers, go and do some auditions. So that's how I got into that. But then I went to the Brit school after, studied there for a bit, and then I met my manager, who was putting a group together initially. And then we were 2 weeks away from signing with Sony, but people couldn't deal with the pressure at the time. Yeah. And then that's how I came about with being solo.
But how did you find Brit School?
Brit School I found fun because of the people, but a little bit, say, controlling in a box, because prior to going, when I was doing my audition for it, they said I would have to stop doing Thriller. Which I kind of was a bit confused because I was like, oh, well, I thought you would want us to be in the industry by this point. It was cool. I learned a lot, though. I learned a lot about the industry because they were able to bring people in to teach, like, contracts, things like that.
Which is so important.
Very important.
And the deal is your EP.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, because it came out end of last year, right?
Yes.
And you just released a video for Señorita a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the EP as a whole, and then we'll go on to Señorita.
The EP was literally about me just presenting myself as my first ever EP, just kind of saying hello to everyone. And I wanted to give people,
I like that.
Give people a different sounds, different vibes that I liked. And I recorded about 40 songs at the beginning of last year.
Wow.
And then I brought it down to the 5. So there was a loads that I could have really put out, but I just wanted to give people tasters of different things. And I'm doing kind of the same again today. Till I put out the next EP.
Okay. So are you working on it right now?
Yeah.
What's the kind of, will you probably drop it same time, end of the year?
No, I'm actually dropping it next year.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nice.
But I'm putting out a single like in about 2 months.
Oh, sick. So you're going to keep our appetites wet for it.
Yeah, keep it wet, but not too wet.
Not drenched, just enough so that we can keep our minds on you, which is nice. And then Señorita is your latest single, and you've released the video. It's very romantic. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this track. What's behind this track?
I think, you know, in life we kind of maybe bump into people or see someone in public and we kind of lock eyes or a party, but maybe you say you don't have the actual confidence to go up to the person. So I just kind of based it on that and then making the fantasy of what would happen after.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's kind of what happened.
Which is nice. Yeah. Very, very romantic, but also a bit naughty as well, which we like.
A little bit naughty. You have to give a little naughty.
Yeah. So tell me, what are you going to be performing live anytime soon? Can we come and see you? What's going on?
I don't have anything planned right now.
But when the single comes out, you'll probably drop a little naughty performance somewhere.
I will do, but I haven't got any dates just yet. But I'm going actually on like a few days with the, because I've got a feature on it, on a school tour for a little bit.
Oh,
just
sick.
To kind of promote it about. So yeah, I'm going to be doing that.
Oh, nice. It's always good to connect with younger generation as well, because they are the ones that are going to be buying your tracks.
Exactly.
And following you. And
they go crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do they love it?
Yeah. It was really good. I finished a four-week one, actually, like about a month ago. So it was really good.
Yeah. So what kind of thing do you do? Do you perform live and then have a chat with them?
So I perform live. We have to kind of make it a little bit educational, talk a little about like drugs, alcohol and stuff like that. It's mainly, yeah, we go there for the music and then we have fun with them. We just talk about, they might have little problems, little issues that they want to talk about, ask about music themselves.
Cute.
And then sign autographs, take pictures, you know.
Aww.
And they have a great time, and you do about 3-4 sessions per day, about to 300 kids.
Wow.
So yeah, it's crazy.
That's such a good way to get new fans, isn't it?
It is.
It's like you're literally, it's like tapping that source, you know, of the young mind who wants the music, wants new people to follow, wants to be the first person as well to follow someone
new. Exactly.
And so the rest of this year is going to be spent in and out the studio as well, yeah?
In and out the studio, a few magazine shoots. I've got Asbo, like an Asbo magazine shoot next week on Monday.
Sick.
And an interview part of that. More radio.
Oh, amazing. Just, so yeah, busy boy.
I am a busy boy. Yeah, a lot happening.
If you were to work on a collab with someone, is there anyone in specifically in the industry right now that you'd love to work with?
Beyonce.
Oh my God, straight in
and
on bae.
I'm going to give it to the universe, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Do it, man. Get that girl in your track.
Yeah.
Beyonce, the queen. The
She's
queen
wicked.
Of music.
She's
yeah.
wicked.
She's incredible, but also an amazing musician. Like,
amazing.
I re-listened to Lemonade the other day and I was like, shit, like the track with James Blake, I was like, this track is so insane and it's so out of what she usually does. I was like, there were so many things on there that I was like, fuck, she's incredible, you know?
Yeah, she's good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming for you, babe. So we're going to get a new EP next year, but a single coming this year in a couple of months. Very exciting. Can you tell us the name of the single? Are you not allowed?
Yeah, I can. It's called Rolling.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little bit on a hip-hop vibe.
Nice.
And the video is going to be really good as well.
Have you shot it yet, or are you shooting it?
No, I've already sorted out the treatment for it.
Sick.
So looking at the treatment, I'm like, hey, this is going to be good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be really nice. Really
so
good.
We're looking forward to Rolling, that's coming out in a couple of months. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, I'm Mae Muller, and I've just been on the Harriet Rose show at FUBAR Radio. It's always so much fun to come down here. I love Harriet, and we always have a good old chat. It's been great. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
My girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry. Let me go on. me go on, like I blister in the sun. Let me go on, big hands, I know you're the one.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
It is, of course, DJ Yoda. What's up? One and only.
Yo.
It's a weird name. I hate it.
And really?
I've hated it for years. Like,
tell us more.
I've had the name for like 25 years or something.
Right.
When I first got named, it was just kind of the lack of anything else. Coming up with names is really hard. Coming up with names for albums or songs or any of that stuff, I really struggle. So I just had a Yoda toy by my turntables, and then my mate was like, you got to call yourself something, just like DJ Yoda. And it stuck. But honestly, like, I'm not really a massive Star Wars fan.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Have you ever answered an unsolicited FaceTime call
Never.
In your life?
Hell Never.
The people, let's ask our two next guests with a spirited round of applause as well. You know? Jungle Brown, we've spoken to you before, man. You've been in only a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We're talking right now about a brand new single, which is from a new album, the first in 3 years. But you recently signed to Mr. Bongo. In fact, the last time we spoke to you, Rick, it was just after you'd signed, wasn't it?
Yeah. We signed in September.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it would have been, our last chat would have been post that. Have you been finding life on such a respected label?
They've been again a long time. Mm. So when they come in straight, know what they're doing, professional, To be real, before like the main action, it's really just putting the cogs in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like we're really just anticipating towards the main release. Obviously, the single's been out. We haven't dropped the video yet, which we're going to drop soon.
Okay, that's in the pipeline. Have you shot it?
Yeah. We're literally just confirmed who's premiering it.
Yeah, a lot of the game is just patience. I'll be honest with you, I'm just itching. But in the sense of the relationship with them, it's been calm, it's been real good. And like just the flexibility to us to be solo artists as well. It's been good, but I'm just like, literally, when that video comes out, that's like a relief. And the next single after that, even though we're promoting Keep It Moving, that's going to be a madness as well, because that's quite an international feature. So
okay, I'm taking it you're not going to divulge
mystery.
Who
the mystery
nah,
is
but
there.
She
spoilers.
No, I don't mind giving you the scene. She's getting very active, as so we've got the feature as she's, you know, doing nice, but now she's getting super active. So it's like perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Wow, and she dropped
it
out.
I don't know who this is now.
My brain's doing a mazza right now. I'm trying to figure it out. Internationals, we talking?
We're not going to divulge.
No, you're not going to say yes or no to anything. There's no point in even asking.
Keep it moving.
It's you, Natalie, isn't it?
It is actually me. It's Natalie. Yeah, I am international, as you know.
Because I know you guys are from Kingston.
Well, you're from Kingston, right? As am I, but they're convinced it's Kingston, not in Jamaica.
Nat puts the Nat in international.
Did you put an accent on?
Sorry?
Did you put an accent on? I thought you meant Jamaica.
No, I definitely did not put an accent on. No.
But you know, Nat is international, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it might be you.
I can't reveal anything, as they said. It's too soon.
We'll find out. When do we find out?
Probably like a month to 6 weeks.
100%.
Yeah?
A month to 6 weeks, yeah.
Okay. And what else can we look forward to in the world of Jungle Brown in the summer?
I've dropped a solo EP with Tony Bones.
Yeah.
Just dropped it.
Yeah.
Called Still Offended.
Yeah.
Mm. Apple Music have been promoting that very nicely.
Yep.
Front page, they playlisted the lead song Still Offended.
Yeah.
Rick has also got some activity.
Yeah. When it comes to your solo projects, your kind of influence in Jungle Brown is very clear. But when you're kind of doing solo stuff, do you sort of draw from the same influences, the same sort of inspiration? Is it all very different?
Very different.
Yeah.
Completely different. Like, it becomes what more, for me, world music. Meaning, it's just wherever the influence comes from.
Yeah.
Like, just music, just the love of music. I think Jungle Brown is a soul. There's a sense of consciousness, there's a sense of purity in it. Outside of that, and I think even what I'm hearing with what Rick's doing as well, then it's just the world. And then it just becomes, you know, a bit more good, the bad and the ugly. Mm-hmm. A bit more of a full scale picture of life.
Okay.
And the energies, different energies.
Well, another way of looking at it is like at the end of the day you go to the pub, have a drink with your mates, and like it's just a fun thing.
Yeah.
But then when you start getting into deeper values, it's like, ooh, Jungle Brown.
I thought you were
going
to say when you start drinking by yourself and then we were going to go.
maybe. When you're drinking by yourself, what music are you going to make? Is that supposed to be for the friends? Is that supposed to be for the gang? So it's like, It's like one of them, it's like, all right, cool, let's just go in with how we feel personally about certain issues. And if we can connect with that, that's Jungle Brown. If not, then it's solo.
Okay. All right, that's how you allot it to...
Yeah, and it's, I mean, we got one producer. I guess as Jungle Brown started, we didn't have no producer. So we were like just jacking Dilla beats and all sorts. Mm. And then we've went through a couple rounds of producers. But yeah, luckily Tony Bones from the same place, he's with us. But yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, if I'm inspired by Subtract and then, you know, K Tronado over here and this, this and that, it's just like, rather than chat about it, just collaborate with certain people that have got that vibe, whether it's like L Train from Brighton, or
oh yeah,
or,
I've heard of L Train. He's
the
a
Last Skeptic or whoever. You
he's
know
a
what
dope
I mean?
Producer.
Yeah, man, L Train's real good. Like I feel like I think on Barney Artist's project, the sort of like selection sounding beat on his project's done by him. But he actually reached out to Jungle Brown a while ago, but it was like he was giving us like R&B stuff, which was alright, but it was a bit slow. Isn't it? Like, you didn't even jump on.
You think you're
yeah,
Bobby Brown? Or something?
Producers yeah. do that as well, where they'll say, "Oh, Jungle Brown, this is what you are. So this is what you get from me."
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yo, that was last year.
Right, yeah. right. So it was just a case of him not having sort of kept up with how the sound
Yeah,
had,
but like in reflection, evolved. I get why he came from that angle, because I guess we're quite laid back in the sound.
Mm.
But it's like, for time, we've just been experimenting with how do you get the tunes more hyped? Because it's like, next guy comes on, he gets the energy ramped up that high, and then we come to like 100 BPM. It's like, ah. Like, it can't work like that.
Hey, I'm Will Merrick. I just did the Michael and Marcel show for FUBAR. They were very welcoming. I had a sick time. Very nice guys, dressed excellently, very quick and welcoming. It was fun. Played a little game as well. That was a real treat. It was a dench.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in Zoom now by one of my favourite people. It's Elliot Spelacula, the 11-year-old boy from Uncle.
Yeah.
So no one was allowed to swear in front of Elliot when we did Uncle. But Elliot took that as an opportunity to rub it in everyone's faces by parading around and swearing at people.
Did I?
We did that table scene where I was on mushrooms and we were sat around the table.
Oh, yeah.
And just before my close-up, you beckoned me over and you went, "Hey, Nick. And action! I was like...
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM, FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by Corin, the Last yeah. Skeptic.
What would you, what do you like to be called?
Corin's fine.
Corin,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I've got your present.
Whoa.
What?
Yes. Batman Superman candy sticks that I bought from the shop over the road.
Whoa, thank you so much.
We're informed.
There's a tattoo in there.
Oh my God. I'm going to save that tattoo for a special occasion. Probably my funeral.
Oh. Leave some instructions in your will.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just make sure you leave it on for long enough before you peel it off.
Open casket, forehead
right in the middle, please. If it fucks up, if a bit's ripped off, you're doing it again.
Oh, I hate it when the corners used to rip off and you go,
Hate it, man.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. No one's ever got me a present before, so this
You've
is nice.
You've been given
ever?
Some.
Yeah, ever. Ever.
You're the last skeptic. I'm skeptical of that. Why are you called the Last Skeptic?
A bunch of different reasons. That's it. That's the end of the conversation.
Okay. And you do a podcast. Do you want to tell us
a little
bit about that?
Yeah, it's called the Thanks for Trying podcast.
How many audience? How many listeners do you get?
At least five. Right. At least.
Oh, so more than us. So
yeah.
It's actually...
Okay. At least five. One of them's me. I listen back again. Yeah, I really enjoy listening.
How many
to
have
me.
You done?
I've done 30 episodes.
Yeah. Do you always listen back?
I always listen. Well, I have to edit them because I get my guests really drunk and then they say stuff that could get them in trouble and then I have to take out what they've said.
Do you have to send them a copy of it?
So yes,
they can
I do.
Say-
and some people, like I'm sure a friend of all of yours, Doc Brown, has to come in and sit with me and listen back to the edit because a lot of the time we're very drunk.
Right. Does he do all of them or he's just done one of
he's
them?
He's done three of them. He's a regular, a returning guest.
So The Last Skeptic has a podcast called Thanks for Trying. Mm-hmm. Previous guests have included Taika Waititi, Ed Skrein.
Skrein, yeah.
Skrein.
Star
Who's
of Deadpool. He was in Deadpool opposite Ryan Reynolds. He was the English villain in that. But he's also in the new Maleficent film. He's killing it.
All right. Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan. He's hard to pin down. And Doc Brown.
Lots of great guests.
Lots and what's so the
who's
premise
your,
of
who's
it?
Who's your worst guest?
Who's my worst guest? I don't know. I hate them all. I hate them all personally, but I'm glad they do the podcast.
Obviously.
Right. Yeah, I hate them all so deeply. I wish it could just be me with two other versions of me as my guests.
Yes.
But then, obviously, then I have to get these guests in so people will listen. Mm-hmm. but then I'm really tempted to just edit them out, but they have me talking in their place.
Yeah. You could edit them in any way you like, though. You can make them look awful.
Yeah, I could do, yeah.
Or do you do that?
Yeah, I've done that. I've made them all racist.
Terrible people.
And, yeah.
Brilliant.
What's the point in having people on if you can't manipulate their content?
Absolutely.
That's I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with me today. I'll be disappointed if you don't.
This is live.
Live.
What?
I know.
Yeah. So, no, there's a perfect way around that.
Okay.
Just be a cunt.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So continue being me.
Just be yourself. Yeah,
being myself. All right.
Buffalo wing soda. Can we get some of this stuff shipped over, do you think? Can we? I don't know why you
would. Can we get it by the end of the show?
I've seen those. And when you drive between Vegas and LA, there's this one place that sells all of these flavoured sodas that are currently showing on the screen.
Ranch dressing soda,
yep.
Peanut butter
and chili.
It's
got all of them. It's an alien outpost of a place. It's themed. They've got like giant aliens. They've got the world's largest thermometer.
Is this on Route 66?
No, it's not. It's just on the main, whatever the main highway is from Vegas.
I've driven from Vegas to the Grand Canyon on Route 66.
Yeah, very beautiful drive.
From Vegas to where are you driving?
To LA.
Yeah. That's a different road.
Different road. World's biggest thermometer.
And how big is it? Because it probably wouldn't have to be that big.
It's quite big.
Yeah, it's right.
It's
world's biggest thermometer.
It's fucking huge.
It's fucking
it's
massive.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is it's an anal thermometer. Fucking hell.
Worst thing or best thing?
Well, come on. A couple of buffalo wing sodas down there. You don't have any ones. If you could make a soda, Heinz tomato ketchup soda.
Mm.
I'm not even fucking kidding. Oh, Ed Sheeran's advertising ketchup now.
Is he?
Does he need more money? Sorry, I'm just putting it out there. Does he need more money?
What do you mean, does he need more money? He probably didn't get paid for it, mate. He's probably just really...
He loves it.
He's doing it for the cause. Yeah, he's doing it for the cause.
Ed Sheeran on ketchup.
And also with really large shoulders and no neck.
That's a small bottle of ketchup, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's named it Edchup.
Edchup. Tomato Edchup. That doesn't even work.
It doesn't even work.
They should have got someone whose name rhymed with ketchup to make that work.
Or tomato. Like,
or someone called Tom.
Tom.
No, but then the pun wouldn't really be that obvious, would it?
Call it Tom Ketchup.
Tom Arto Tommy Ketchup. Hardy Chup.
They should have got Tommy Walsh from Ground Force.
Yes.
And they would have called it Tommy Ketchup. And that would have been perfect.
I'd have bought that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they would have saved some money as well, I reckon. If they
I think so. How much do you think he's getting paid for this?
I don't know. I would have preferred the whole campaign if it had been Daddy's sauce. Ed's tattoo. Did he do that for Heinz?
That's his real tattoo that he had done before the advert. Or he got paid to have a tattoo.
Wow. He's got something.
Is that why he's been long associated with tomato ketchup?
Because of his hair colour.
He seems like a real laugh, this Ed Sheeran guy.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
We'd love to have him on.
If he wants to come on, we'll talk about
wants to come
he's probably
on
listening.
Radio,
yeah, he's probably listening.
We'd love to have him on and explain himself.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.